This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Happy New Year, everybody. For our first show of the year, we're going to have another poetry party. I'll be playing all kinds of poetry and all kinds of music as a way of celebrating 2009. We have a new president. We've got all kinds of things to look forward to, I hope. I'm going to kick off tonight's show with Vera Lynn singing a medley of Be Like the Kettle and Sing, and There's a New World Over the Skyline. This is from the CD Vera Lynn Remembers, the songs that won World War II. Following Lynn, I'll play F.D. Reeve performing his poem, The Blue Cat Calls a Country Dance.
When all the skies are gray and it's a rainy day, think of the birdies in the spring. When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing. Tell that umbrella man he's just an also-ran. Think of a kid on a swing. When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing. You'll find that life always got a funny side, so come over on the sunny side and wear a great big smile. You'll find that life's worthwhile. You'll have the world on a string. When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing. There's a new world over the skyline. To find it, follow the sun. You'll find it brighter, your heart much lighter, and you'll have trouble on the run. There's a new song on the horizon that we'll sing together as one. In the new world over the skyline, where the
here's sheer pleasure. Picture a barn full of square dancing cats and join them. The Blue Cat Calls a Country Dance. Place is all, kits, cats, and toms, bow and curtsy, manners on. Allaman left, a do-si-do, swing your partner, round you go. Pick 'em up and put 'em down. Stop when you get back to town. Lady right, clockwise round, gent goes left, counterbound. Down to the green zone, skip on through. Pass the killers as they pass you. Grab the gas can standing there. Pick the kind man on the square. You swing him and he swings you. Make a circle two by two. Purses on the ends, dive up and under. Star in the middle, star of wonder. Yankee shoot, not knowing what to do. Every survivor shakes a shoe. Alleman left with corners all. Grand right and left around the hall. Bring back the art, home to Baghdad. Heart's still heavy, feet getting glad. Everybody swing. Second round, same old thing. Pretty little feet and a copter's wing. One for the money, one for the show. Two go where the greenbacks grow. Gent swings lady, lady swings gent. Poor man pays the rich man's rent. You swing me and I swing you. Pumping oil is good for you. Persians on the ends, dive up and under. Star in the middle, star of wonder. Yankee shoot, not knowing what to do. Every survivor shakes a shoe. Alleman left with corners all. Grand right and left around the hall. Bring back the art, home to Baghdad. Heart still heavy, feet getting glad. Everybody swing. Third couple circle where the bombs land, hand to hand, balance on the sand. Can't ever get enough of you. Who's who? Who knows you? Gas can gone, cook oil too. Electricity cut, water tank dry. Checkpoint death has a trigger eye. Waiting for me, waiting for you. Curtains on the ends, dive up and under. Star in the middle, star of wonder. Yankee shoot, not knowing what to do. Every survivor shakes his shoe. Alaman left with corners all. Grand right and left around the hall. Bring back the art, home to Baghdad. Heart still heavy, feet getting glad. Everybody swing. Thousands dead, we're coming round the bend. Down by the river where the warpath ends. History a-making, where's a better view? Bodies in armor, torture-minded screws. Men for the killing, children left to grieve. You're now Adam, you play Eve. Doomsday's coming, the book said so. But if you ask me, I don't know. Persians on the ends, dive up and under. Star in the middle, star of wonder. Yankee shoot, not knowing what to do. Every survivor shakes a shoe. Alaman left, corners all. Rhine right and left, and around the hall. Bring back the art, home to Baghdad. Heart still heavy, feet getting glad. Dance the night through, and when you're done, away you go too. That's number one. Round and round the village green, the soldiers march in line. As on a clock, the fancy hands and quantum leaps keep time. A bomb goes off, two girls go wild, 13 more quadrille. When suddenly by the teacher's bench, pop, goes the overkill. Round and round the stubborn sun, the rocky planets gyrate. And all the moons that are pure gas spin off to start to migrate. Here in the dark, the universe is playing blind man's route. When suddenly by the speaker's bench, pop, the moon's knocked out. Round and round the Milky Way, nervy nebulae careen, dragging their tails in silver pails lined with trinitrotoluene. Fills the sky with fabulous pies of red-hot shrapnel sprouts that in one burst do their worst of rubbing thousands out. Round and round to atoms go in intergalactic space, like a mini man and a mini woman wearing a mini face. But down the line by first design from bottom to the top, they'll soon go round the giant sound of the universal pop.
That was poet F.D. Reeve performing The Blue Cat Calls a Country Dance. Before Reeve, you heard Vera Lynn singing a medley, Be Like the Kettle and Sing, There's a New World Over the Skyline. Up next are two poets who have published with the 16 Rivers Press, Terry Arrett, a former Sonoma County Poet Laureate, and Gillian Wegener, W-E-G-E-N-E-R.
What It's About. With thanks to Allen Ginsberg. Composed on the eve of the bombing of Baghdad, March 18th, 2003. Spring is about standing in the dark under the darker eucalyptus and feeling the future like an ache in the throat, in the lungs, like drowning, like waiting in silence for the bombs to fall. Bombs are about who's lying and who's counting, and counting is about numbers we agree to. Agreeing is about investing your money in the same things. Money is about money, and also about what you don't have. Not having is about pain. And pain is about being broken each year. Being broken by promises, by grace, by the bursting seed pods of deceit, and telling ourselves we will heal. Or if we cannot, telling ourselves it's our place to be stupid and broken. Our place is about three cars in the driveway, and streetlights, and sidewalks. And sidewalks are about what's worth protecting. Protection is about terror and destruction and inevitable suffering. And suffering is always about birth, about stains and mystery. And mysteries are always about the silence, the awful, chilling silence that fills the right now before whatever is about to happen, happens.
The opposite of clairvoyance. You feel like a fool not being able to spot the bird, the little bird making all the noise contained in the center of you? When did the tree become such a maze? When did leaves become this impenetrable? It isn't what you thought, standing here under the tired green and hoping, so hard it's like a knife inside you, peeling off the soft tissue of your lungs. Look hard enough, you are supposed to see. Think hard enough, you are supposed to understand. No one talks about the cold pain when this doesn't happen. A nail in the foot and then the tetanus shot to save you from the nail. The little bird keeps shrieking, sounds broken, and your hope is that winter will make plain the bird, will knock the leaves from that tree with a fist hard and merciless as God's, and make plain that crying bird.
You just heard two poems read. The first was by Terry Arrett, and the second was by Gillian Wegener. Both of these women have books published by 16 Rivers Press. Terry Arrett's latest book is called Lucky Break, and Gillian Wegener's book is called The Opposite of Clairvoyance. We're celebrating the new year on Word Temple tonight, and I'll be playing all kinds of poetry and music. Perhaps the election went your way, perhaps it didn't. Perhaps all of the propositions that you wanted voted in were voted in, and maybe some you didn't want voted in were. Up next is a song sung by Al Boley called Love is the Sweetest Thing, followed by Ray Manzarek and Michael McClure performing Paragon of Danger.
Love is the sweetest thing. What else on earth could ever be? Such happiness to everything as love goes for love is the strangest thing. No song of birds upon the wing shall in our hearts more sweetly sing than love's old story. Whatever hearts may desire, whatever life may send, this is a tale that never will tire. This is the song without end. Love is the strongest thing, the oldest, yet the latest thing. I only hope that fate may bring love's story to you. Love is the sweetest thing. Thank you.
paragon of danger. Teach me the lesson from deep inside. Paragon of danger, tell me of Galahad and the beauteous stranger who flies into the night. Sing me the song of the diamonds of America. Hum aloud the names of greed. Croon of the begonia that flowers from the weed. Pile up trunks of fool's gold. Let my tension be free. I am your pupil with my ballpoint on the future. Pile up bags of thieves' gold. Croon of the begonia, flowering from the weed. Hum aloud the names of greed. Powell, Schwarzkopf, Sharon, Cheney and Bush. Powell, Schwarzkopf, Sharon, Cheney and Bush. Sing me the song of the diamonds of America. Tell me of Galahad and the beauteous stranger who flies into the night. Paragon of danger, teach me the lesson from deep inside. Powell, Schwarzkopf, Sharon, Cheney and Bush. Whisper of the strange one landing in the Exxon night.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. You just heard a recording of Ray Manzarek and Michael McClure performing Paragon of Danger. Before that, Al Boley sang Love is the Sweetest Thing. In 2008, we lost a number of poets. One was Reginald Lockett. Reginald performed for years with the Wordwind Chorus. Other members of the group include Louis Jordan, Brian Auerbach, and Q.R. Hand Jr. Up next, I'm going to play a poem read by Reginald Lockett. A veteran ponders the fate of his immigrant students. Following that, I'm going to play Untitled for Reginald Lockett, a poem I wrote on the day of his death.
It never fails. When finals are over, on the last day of the fall semester, they come bearing gifts. These students, young and old, from the cities, towns, villages, rice paddies of South Vietnam, meekly and quietly present him with tokens of gratitude. This is a gesture he remains so unaccustomed to, but knows these are a people who honor their teachers. Beautifully wrapped boxes, tubes, and cans that conceal fine point ink pens he favors, porcelain postage stamp rollers he will never use, stationery too delicate for his taste, holiday candies, cakes, cookies, dried fruits, cheeses, and even cognacs, liqueurs, and whiskeys with matching snifters, aperitif and shot glass sets, emblazoned with brand names not cheap, clutter his classroom desk. Then that fear of the 19-year-old soldier he was years ago rose in like the heavy drizzle falling outside, alert and paranoid, every trail an ambush, each clump of grass a punji hole, anywhere he stepped a landmine, beer can, pop bottle, banana, and mango trees booby-trapped. Those memories of the carnage and devastation he witnessed, he knows will never go away through no fault of these recent arrivals. They linger there in the hope he sees sparkling so brightly in their eyes, the aspirations he hears beating persistently in their hearts. When he settles at his office desk late that afternoon to judge their last efforts, those presents piled high on the floor, he will guide them closer to degrees in accounting, computer science, physics, music, math, or once again, defoliate their dreams.
Untitled, for Reginald Lockett. Your words are in the air and enter us on this hottest day in memory. Flowers burst open, beyond open. Brown birds with beautiful voices dance in sprinkler rain. Would you be surprised to know poems are being written all up and down California tonight in an attempt to hold on to you somehow, to love you into thin air? Just hours before the call, Borges on death. For me, death is a hope, the irrational certitude of being abolished, erased, and forgotten. You think it matters if tomorrow I will have disappeared? Old spirit, new spirit, teacher of Watts and Train, August Crumpler, West Oakland archaeology, the Culbersons and backyard boogie. You wrote to Kathy, a name from childhood, growing up in the 60s. In some other world.
Zenizina boma kwala mapongo mapongwenhliziyo. Zenizina boma kwala mapongo mapongwenhliziyo. Zenizina boma kwala. Mapongo, mapongo entliziyo. Zeni zina, boma kwala. Mapongo, mapongo entliziyo. Zeni zina,
wala, 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 wala.
That was the late, great Miriam Makeba. And now here is Mae Swenson reading her poem, I Look at My Hand.
I look at my hand. I look at my hand and see it is also his and hers, the pads of the fingers his, the wrists and knuckles hers. In the mirror, my pugnacious eye and ear of an elf his, my tamer mouth and slant cheekbones, hers. His impulses, my senses swarm, her hesitations they gather. Father and mother who dropped me an acorn in the wood, repository of your shapes and inner streams and circles, you who lengthen toward heaven, forgive me that I do not throw the replacing green trunk when you are ash. When you are ash, no features shall there be tangled of you, interlacing hands and faces through me, who hide, still hard, far down under your shades, and break my root and prune my buds, that what can make no replica may spring from me.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. We are celebrating the new year tonight by having a poetry party. I'm playing poetry, I'm playing music, all kinds of stuff. We have a new president, so what the heck? Let's play Barack Obama by Coco T. This is from his album, Yes We Can.
Why, 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 why. Well, this is not about class, no color, race, no creed. Make no mistake, it's the changes where all the people them need. Them a shout out Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Them say Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Now you can hear it in the morning,
Obama.
And you can hear it in the evening,
Obama.
Black man and white woman shouting,
Obama.
Them in the groove and them is moving,
Obama.
And you can hear them saying, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Them say Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Momentum is hot, and no one can stop that. Well, some of them are dressed back, and some are take back them chat.
Sure.
All some of them who was racist, jumping and dancing in the street, and I shout out Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Them say Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, oh, hoy. It is not Hillary Clinton,
Obama.
And it is not John McCain,
Obama.
It is not Chuck Norris,
Obama.
And I know it's not John Wayne,
Obama.
It is not the one Rambo,
Obama.
And it is not the Terminator,
Obama.
But the new trendsetter,
Obama.
He might up the whole America, and them a shout out Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, oh, hoy. Them say Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, oh, hoy. African American, rise and keep your eyes on the prize,
Obama.
Cause now enough of them are realize the black man is in their eyes,
Obama.
Well, it's no joke, it's a fact. We're gonna paint all the White House black.
Obama.
Enough can't believe a true. Black country on the red, white, and blue. Them a shout out Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Them say Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Me call in a live red Indians.
Obama.
We live up on the reservation.
Obama.
The Japanese and all the Chinese man,
Obama.
The Indian and all the Mexican,
Obama.
Arabs and Jews and Palestinians,
Obama.
A time for we join up as one and shout out Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Shout Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, hoy, hoy. Cause this is not about class,
Obama.
No color, race, no creed,
Obama.
But it's about that changes,
Obama.
Where the Americans need,
Obama.
So whether you come from California,
Obama.
Or you live in North Dakota,
Obama.
You could have come from Texas,
Obama.
Or you living in Florida,
Obama.
I want you to join this line,
yeah.
And let me hear you start shout, just shout out Barack Obama.
You're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 in Santa Rosa. Now let's go back to Catherine Hastings.
And there you have it, the first song I know of called Barack Obama. Up next is Al Young performing his poem, Conjugal Visits.
I had a student, a non-traditional student, as they say, which means usually older and interesting. And this particular woman was married for the third time, and she was married to an inmate at San Quentin. This is back in the late 80s, early 90s, when they still had conjugal visits. And she would excuse herself from my class once a month to go and visit her husband. And I finally got up the nerve to ask her what that was like. And she sat across from me in my office at UC Santa Cruz. The curriculum was Uncle Charlie Summer Camp, right? That's the acronym. Well, the kids name it that, you know, UCSC. And I asked her what that was like, and she says, "Oh, Professor Young, it's wonderful when we get together. It's always like a honeymoon. We read each other poems we've been writing and talk about books we've been reading. We make love, and we walk around the trailer court where the conjugal visits take place, and they bring in food, and then we make love again, and I just love it." And then her whole body language changed, and she said, "When I get back to Santa Cruz and I'm trying to see after my children and do my job and do my schoolwork, he can't mess with me because he's locked up in the joint." We now have, I think we've surpassed, the state of California has surpassed Texas in the building of prisons. The average cost of keeping a man or woman locked up or locked down in California prisons is $36,000 a year, which is what it costs in tuition to go to Stanford. So this is about values. Conjugal visits. By noon, we'll be deep into it, up reading out loud in bed, or in between our making love, I'll paint my toenails red. Reese say he got to change his name from Maurice to Malik. He think I need to change mine, too. Conversion, so to speak. I ain't no Muslim yet, I say. Besides, I like my name. Kamisha still sounds good to me. I'll let you play that game. I'd rather play with you, he say, than trip back to the 60s. The 60s, eh? I'm on his case. Then I won't do my striptease. This brother look at me and laugh. He know I love him bad. And worse, he know exactly how much loving I ain't had. He grabbed me by my puffed up waist and pulled me to him close. He say, "I want you in my face or on my face, Miss Toes." What can I say? I'd lie for Reese, but I'm not quitting school. 4 mouths to feed, not counting mine. Let urban studies rule. I met him in the want ads. We fell in love by mail. I say when people bring this up, wasn't no one up for sale. All these black men crammed up in jail, all this IQ on ice, while governments, bank presidents, the mafia don't think twice. They fly in dope and make real sure their hands stay nice and clean. The chump change Reese made on the street, what's that supposed to mean? For what it costs the state to keep you locked down, clothed, and fed, you could be learning Harvard stuff and brilliant skills, I said. Reese say, "Just kiss me one more time, and let's get down, make love. Then let's devour that special meal I wish they'd serve more of." They say the third time out's a charm. I kind of think they're right. My first, he was the ace of swords, which didn't make him no knight. He gave me Zeus and Brittany. My second left me twins. This third one ain't about no luck. We're honeymooners, friends. I go see Maurice once a month while Moms looks after things. We'd be so glad to touch again. I dance. He grins. He sings. When I get back home to my kids, schoolwork, the copy shop, ain't no way Reese can mess with me. They got his ass locked up.
He's gotta swim, birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die. Oh, I can't help loving that man of mine. Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow, tell me I'm crazy, maybe I know, but I can't help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, that's a rainy day, and when he comes back, the day is fine, the sun will shine. Can come home as late as can be. Home without him ain't no home to me. Oh, I can't help loving that man of mine.
Oh, listen, sister, I love my Mr. Man, and I can't tell you why. There ain't no reason why I should love that man. it must be something that the angels don't plan. The roof is leaking, the chimney's leaking in, but it don't seem to care. He can be happy with just a sip of gin. I even loved him when his kisses got gin. Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow, tell me I'm crazy, maybe I know, but I can't help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, that's a rainy day, and when he comes back, the day shine. He can come home as late as can be. Home without him ain't no home to me. Oh, I can't help loving that man of mine. I can't help loving that man of mine. I can't help loving that man of mine, mine, mine.
My name is Sharon Olds, and this is a poem of mine from a book called The Father. The poem is called The Race. When I got to the airport, I rushed up to the desk, bought a ticket. 10 minutes later, they told me the flight was canceled. The doctors had said my father would not live through the night, and the flight was canceled. A young man with a dark brown mustache told me another airline had a non-stop, leaving in 7 minutes. See that elevator over there? Well, go down to the first floor, make a right. You'll see a yellow bus. Get off at the second Pan Am terminal. I ran. I, who have no sense of direction, raced exactly where he'd told me, a fish slipping upstream deftly against the flow of the river. I jumped off that bus with those bags I had thrown everything into in 5 minutes and ran. The bags wagged me from side to side, as if to prove I was under the claims of the material. I ran up to a man with a flower on his breast. I, who always go to the end of the line, I said, "Help me." He looked at my ticket. He said, "Make a left and then a right, go up the moving stairs, and then run." I lumbered up the moving stairs. At the top, I saw the corridor, and then I took a deep breath. I said goodbye to my body, goodbye to comfort. I used my legs and heart as if I would gladly use them up for this, to touch him again in this life. I ran, and the bags banged against me, wheeled and coursed in skewed orbits. I have seen pictures of women running, their belongings tied in scarves grasped in their fists. I blessed my long legs he gave me. My strong heart I abandoned to its own purpose. I ran to gate 17, and they were just lifting the thick white lozenge of the door to fit it into the socket of the plane. Like the one who is not too rich, I turned sideways and slipped through the needle's eye, and then I walked down the aisle toward my father. The jet was full, and people's hair was shining. They were smiling. The interior of the plane was filled with a mist of gold endorphin light. I wept as people weep when they enter heaven in massive relief. We lifted up gently from one tip of the continent, and did not stop until we sat down lightly on the other edge. I walked into his room and watched his chest rise slowly and sink again. All night I watched him breathe.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. In November of 2008, the Word Temple Poetry Series at Copperfields Books celebrated the collected poems of Philip Whalen, edited by Michael Rothenberg and published by Wesleyan University Press. We had a number of Sonoma County poets reading from the book that night. One of them was West County poet Terry Carrion, who read Whalen's poem, Bleakness Farewell. She did such an outstanding job reading this poem that I invited her to come back and read for the radio show. Here now is Terry Carrion reading Bleakness Farewell, a poem written by Waylon in 1964 and revised in 1975.
Bleakness Farewell. I was haunted for several days in a row by an imaginary pair of almost identical siren voices. They spoke inanities in a drawling whine. They were American high school girls. For days, I heard no more than the exchange, "Hi, Marlene. Hi, Maxine." And the almost outraged complaint, "I've got to go to the library." This last word, of course, fits into an earlier poem of mine where I say, "The library, a house of correction." It is surprising that the message they had for me was a political one. It's considerably more surprising that I can't remove their voices, their silly conversation, from the midst of this really quite serious text. Do I apologize? And to whom? What if I am a stranger here? I don't feel at home in this world anymore, just as the song says. A friend of mine made up the following routine. You are a stranger here. You find our practices offensive? It is our practice to be offensive to strangers. I feel the same way. Hi, Marlene. Hi, Maxine. Where are you going? I've got to go to the library. Americans are people who own real estate in Ohio. Real estate possesses a mystical charge which is lost if the real estate be sold to a Negro, a Chinaman, a Jew. Americans want a product, any product, whether they have real estate or not. If the product is ugly enough, poisonous enough, and expensive enough, all Americans will buy it. They will cut down on food, sex, curiosity, and even their own fits of paranoia in order to spend more money on the product. Americans never change. They never die. They believe, while they sink majestically, real estate, products, eternity and all, into the giant pit of garbage they've produced and sold to each other and to an eager world. Believe. Oh yes, it's a mess, and someday I expect it will all blow up or collapse. But it will last my lifetime until it does. I'm just doing my job and making the payments every month and enjoying what little pleasures I can. That's all I know. That's all I can do. Hi, Marlene. Hi, Maxine. Where are you going? I've got to go do my geometry. So do I. Let's do geometry together. Shall we go to my house or to your house? Americans joke about visible changes. I got silver in my hair, gold in my teeth, and lead in my ass. But they call each other kid, or the girls, or the boys, the gang, sinking into the pit which they have digged, the Bible says, for another, sinking into the grave, never change, even in the grave, where at last each of them has become a product, masterpieces of the embalmer's art. They don't know, once they've had this treatment, that the embalming fluid wasn't full strength, a mixture of low-grade chemicals. They lie serenely rotting, prepared to meet the god they spent a lifetime cheating and mocking, with confidence, with a smile. Hi, Marlene. Hi, Maxine. Where are you going? I'm going to babysit at the Watsons. Why don't you come over and we'll watch television together while we do our Latin? Happy to meet you, sir. I am the president of the First National Bank, chairman of the board of American Amalgamated, president of American Alumni Association, a deacon of the church, father of eight, a veteran of late wars. God says, charmed, I'm sure. If you'll just step this way, sir, you'll find your accommodations all prepared. It turns out that God is actually Franklin Pangborn, the hotel clerk in old movies. Your loved ones are waiting you here. Please go right on in and make yourself comfortable, unless you care to take a look through this little window into hell, where you can see your worst enemies all frying and screaming. In heaven, all Americans are chairmen of the board from 10 to 3 every day without fail. They are serious men who have many great responsibilities. They are quite often called to the White House, where God consults with them privately about how to run the universe. Even in heaven, there are problems. The Jews keep wanting to set up a separate homeland to be called Shul. The Chinamen keep insisting that they've been defrauded in some fashion or other. Their complaints are obscure. Their command of English has never been of the best. And the Negroes want to rest, to be left alone. Why must they still be janitors in those heavenly office buildings and banks? Why must they be chauffeurs and housemaids and cooks and Pullman porters and comic gardeners to these Americans? There are rumors of a heavenly crisis. Appalling quantities of bourbon whiskey and expensive cigars pour into celestial skyscrapers. The White House is illuminated night and day, the air crowded with angelic messengers and lightning bolts. The Wall Street Journal prints cheerful-looking graphs on its front page. Walter Lippmann writes ominous columns. Gabriel Heater says there's good news tonight. But shall we believe him? H.V. Cattleborn sounds grim. Hi, Marlene. This is Maxine. Mama says I've got to stay home. After you're through babysitting, why don't you come over and we'll set each other's hair? As for myself, I know nothing about the 30s. I was in grade school, in high school all that time, living in a small town in Oregon. My father had a job all through the Depression. He kept the rent paid and brought us enough food and clothing. My folks joked about not having a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of, i.e. they didn't own their own house. They said that Mr. Roosevelt was ruining the country, paying people to lean on shovels, collect relief, while Eleanor ran wildly about the country, meddling into everything. During the 40s, I was a soldier. I was still in the Army when I turned 21 and voted for Mr. Roosevelt in the election of 1944 against Governor Dewey, more than for Mr. Roosevelt and Harvard and the Porcelain Club and Hyde Park, an absentee ballot. Late in the 40s, the government paid my way through college. Shovels were hidden away. We leaned on professors and books and beer. We were educated above our station in life, Thompson says. That's the trouble with us all. We were not quite starving in L.A. in the 50s. Now it's the 60s in San Francisco. There's temporarily a room to live in. Sometimes I have my own food to cook, but most of the time I have to bum it off my friends. Food and money to buy stamps, to mail out manuscripts. I go on writing to pass away the time, to forget about being hungry, to forget the revolution. Like the song says, I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I try to illuminate it, transform it with poetry, with vision, with love. But actually, here I am, climbing the barricades, making inflammatory speeches, writing nasty letters to the Chronicle, stopping strangers in the street to demand total freedom and love. They say, what are you so excited about? Everything's going to be all right. The law, the Constitution is on your side. The government is sympathetic. U.S. Steel doesn't hate anybody. The telephone company is your friend. The PG&E only wants progress and a better life for everybody. Hi, Marlene. Hi, Maxine. Did you hear about the revolution? Yeah, my father has moved into the bomb shelter out in the backyard. Mother says not to worry. He'll come out by 8 o'clock. His bowling team has a tournament. Yeah, my mother said I had to go to school anyway. Yeah, that's what my mother said. I have to go to school. She's going to run for Congress. Can you imagine? In America, it's actually the 30s again, only without Mr. Roosevelt, without Senator Baugh, without John L. Lewis, without Wendell Willkie. Fred Allen is dead. Haywood Broun is dead. Whatever happened to Dorothy Thompson? The world wars are happily forgotten. Something to do with the Duke of Marlborough. China no longer exists, except as a story, just like the Middle Ages before Marco Polo. Japan is a quaint foreign land full of cherry blossoms, inhabited entirely by small, beautiful girls dressed in robes of gorgeous colored silk. Europe mostly disappeared in the war, except for the Olivetti Corporation and the Volkswagen industry. India, Russia, and Africa have all gone bad and will soon cease to exist, like China. Mexico and South America grow dimmer every day. Canada is for hunting trips and summer vacations, having been annexed to the U.S. about 1960. Everything is fine except for these embarrassing scenes in restaurants, automobile showrooms, the Palace Hotel, the New York World's Fair. People say they want freedom. Haven't they got it? Instead of working, aren't they out there marching up and down, making fools of themselves, destroying private property, getting locked up in jail? Freedom from what? All they want is license, an undisciplined mob who doesn't want to work, who just wants to grab everything, driving down property values. What I want is freedom from the past, from the 30s, from fake morality, fake religion, fake learning, freedom from the product, freedom from the White House and the board of directors, freedom from fake leadership by fake crypto-Leninist, Trotskyite, Stalinist, intellectual politicos. I want freedom for everybody, no matter what color, shape, or persuasion. But best of all, freedom also from everybody. I don't want anybody to be kicked around. I don't want to kick anybody. I want freedom to do my own work. I want to get down off these barricades and go walking in the woods, let Gerodius out of jail, get Securus out of prison. All power to Martin Luther King, Allen Ginsberg, Diane DePrima, Leroy Jones, Julian Beck, Tracy Sims, Quark, SNCC, at FSM. Let the revolution proceed. I resign with pleasure from the presidency of the First National Bank as board chairman for American Amalgamated, from the Alumni Association, the DAR, my deaconry. Let the terrestrial paradise, the garden of earthly pleasures, and the new heavens and golden age begin.
And that was Terry Carrion reading Bleakness Farewell by Philip Whalen. The poem is in the Collected Poems of Philip Whalen, edited by Michael Rothenberg and published by Wesleyan University Press. Up next, Sebastopol poet Ronald Thomas reads his poem, The Bump Dish.
The Bump Dish. He stole the bump dish. My brother stole the bump dish, hung it on his wall. Stole the bump dish, hung it on his wall in Idaho. Took it all the way to Idaho. Seven brothers, four sisters. What right does he have to steal the bump dish? No right, no right at all. 11 kids. 11 kids, that's a lot. Every night we argued. Argued at the dinner table. Argued at the dinner table about whose turn it was to have the bump dish. We had pulling matches, tug of wars. One plate out of a set of dishes, one dish that had a bump. The bump made my father swear and pound the table. Give me that thing, damn it. Then my mother wrung her hands. No swearing, please. Then we all went quiet and sulked and glared. 11 glaring kids, long table, we glared down both sides. We glared over the salad. We glared with mouths full of peas, with spaghetti sauce on our faces. We needed to get a life. Instead, we got old enough to chuckle about the bump dish. We chuckled about the bump dish until it became warm china in our hearts. But my brother never chuckled. No chuckling in Idaho. He just let us chuckle and wonder. My non-chuckling brother just let us chuckle and wonder what happened to the bump dish. I saw it on a visit. How'd you get the bump dish? Just took it, my non-chuckling brother says. Just took it and hung it on the wall. I pretended to chuckle and feel warm, but my sulking heart knew better. Driving home, I sulked through Twin Falls and past the Great Salt Lake. Then I glared until sagebrush withered, glared and thought about a U-turn, a ski mask, home invasion, strong arm robbery. Who did he think he was, the bump dish on his wall? Instead, I got older, 60 years old, and my wife threw a party. My brother brought a present. Take it, he says, take it. I know you want the bump dish. Ah, couldn't live with himself because he stole the bump dish. Now I have the bump dish. My brothers call, my sisters call. They ask about my health. They're very sly and waiting, but I'm healthy. I'm going to live for a very long time, and I have the bump dish. I have the bump dish tucked away where it is very warm.
Here is Jack Foley with Adele Foley reading Marriage.
My wife Adele and I attended poet Judy Grant's wedding reception. Judy had married her longtime lover and companion, Chris Brandenburger. It was an immensely joyous occasion, and the recent disastrous vote on Proposition 8 can do nothing to diminish the joy of that occasion. We read these lines.
Marriage is a personal union between two people.
Marriage
changes the personal status of the individuals in the eyes of the law and state.
Marriage is an institution in which interpersonal relationships are sanctioned with governmental, social, or religious recognition.
Marriage may take many forms.
Marriage may take many forms.
Bill Cosby said,
"For two people in a marriage to live together day after day is unquestionably the one miracle the Vatican has overlooked."
Friedrich Nietzsche said,
"It is not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriages."
Gloria Steinem said,
"I have yet to hear a man ask for advice on how to combine marriage and a career." Homer said,
"There is nothing nobler or more admirable than when two people who see eye to eye keep house as man and wife, confounding their enemies and delighting their friends.
Gandhi said,
I first learned the concepts of nonviolence in my marriage.
Ogden Nash said,
to keep your marriage brimming
with love in the loving cup.
Whenever you're wrong, admit it.
Whenever you're right,
shut up. Oscar Wilde said,
marriage is the triumph of imagination over intelligence. Lenore Kandel said,
there are no ways of love but beautiful.
There are no ways of love but beautiful. Marriage
is the magic.
Marriage
is the miracle.
Marriage
is the mountain. Marriage
is the mostest.
Marriage
is not only better but mo better.
Marriage
is the suds of a bubble bath. Marriage
is the buds of a flower patch. Marriage
is the mellifluous measure of a mighty magnanimous melody.
Ain't it grand when people you love each other?
Ain't it grand when people you love each other?
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Tonight, we celebrated the new year with a poetry party. The poets you heard were F.D. Reeve, Terry Arrett, Gillian Wegener, Sharon Olds, Michael McClure with Ray Manzarek, Al Young, Reginald Lockett, my own poem that I dedicated to Reginald Lockett, Mae Swenson, Harry Carrion reading Philip Whalen, Ron Thomas, and Jack Foley with Adele Foley. Join me on December 29th at 7 p.m. at Books, Inc., their Opera Plaza store, 601 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco, when I'll introduce Poems for the Millennium, Volume 3, the University of California Book of Romantic and Post-Romantic Poetry. This is an absolutely amazing accomplishment, edited by Jerome Rothenberg and Jeffrey C. Robinson. Diane DePrima, Michael McClure, and many other fine poets will read along with the editors from the book that night. That's Friday, December 29th at 7 p.m. at Books, Inc., 601 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. I hope to see you there. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. If you have any questions or comments, please contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening. Let's go out with K.D. Lang singing Simple. That love is